Welcome to the Crosslands Church podcast. Our mission, to help you experience the life with God you've been missing. And now, a message for you.
I want to start today with a good alien story. Everyone loves an alien story. A farmer recently lost his wife to a traffic accident, leaving him with his two young children and his younger brother, who'd just been kind of drifting through life lately. And it was a day just like any other day until they showed up. The crop circles had been a point of mystery for some time now in this farmer's fields. But now there were lights coming from an invisible object in Mexico, and no one knew what it was. And the farmer was certain that there was someone watching them from his fields. Someone or something. And with each passing day, more and more lights started appearing in more cities. And then there's this sighting in Brazil, and it was a birthday party full of little kids, and they were screaming as they saw this horrible creature pass by their house. It didn't take long to discover that these were hostile aliens. The army's weapons were absolutely no use, and city after city started to fall. And with the aliens closing in on just their little farm, the farmer said to the kids, What do you want for dinner? Anything at all. Hamburgers? Okay. Spaghetti? Sure. That too. Ribs? Mashed potatoes? Yeah. And he took it all in with a smile, but his eyes betrayed him. The kids didn't know, but this was going to be their last meal together. And in that dining room, surrounded by a cornucopia of entrees and desserts, the occasional moments of laughter were met with long periods of painful silence and heartbreaking despair. Now, you may recognize that story from the movie Signs that came out in 2002. And the reason I wanted to share that with you is because I remember sitting in that theater watching this movie and watching the events unfold and feeling such despair. How is this going to work out for them? How are they going to escape this? Like, there's no way out. There just didn't seem to be any way to resolve this. They were all going to die. And there were kids. I mean, not the kids, right? That's how they get you in movies. They always put kids in these movies, right? Think about Bird Box recently. That's how they pull you in and pull your emotions. Because you're like, no, not the kids. And as I sat there and I watched this movie, I couldn't help but wonder, what would I have done in a similar situation when there was just no more hope? The thing is, I felt that kind of despair before. That sense that what's just happened has changed my life forever, and not in a good way. My life will never be the same, and I'm powerless. I'm stuck with no way to change it. And boy, this world has no shortage of ways of casting despair on us, does it? Disease, divorce, bankruptcy, a firing, tragic accident, a failure, death. You might be here this morning, and you're right in the middle of it. And your despair is taking your breath away. And you've got nothing to live for anymore. Well, I have good news for you today. God loves you. God is ready to rescue you. With God, there is always hope for better days ahead. always hope. And for the past 4 weeks, we've been talking about the good news and what it means in just four simple words: love, death, rescue, and hope. And today, what I want to do is I want to talk about hope. What is this thing that we have called hope? If you have a Bible, maybe even the Bible app, you can take out your device or your Bible, and I want you to turn to John 3:16. And I'm reading it now for you. "For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." There's a reason that this verse is likely the most popular verse in the Bible. It encapsulates the essence of the good news like just no other verse. It says that God loved the world so much. Now see, there's an emphasis that's lost in this translation. But it's in all the other translations. And in fact, if you look at your footnotes, you'll still see it there. It still includes it. God loved the world so much. See, it wasn't just love. It was so much love. A love so strong, so powerful, so compelling, that God gave us Jesus, his one and only Son. In Philippians 2, we're told that Jesus humbled himself, emptied his divine privileges, and in obedience to the Father, gave his life for us on a cross. It was Adam's and Eve's sin. It was my sin. It was your sin. It was the evil and corruption of this world that deserved to die. It was our penalty to pay. But Jesus took our place. And he poured out his life so that we could live. And with the penalty paid, we're free to have a relationship with God, unshackled, unhindered, free, running to him just the way that we are. Folks, when God looks at you, he doesn't see all the mistakes of the past. He doesn't see how you've succumbed to temptation. He doesn't see that heart that's full of guilt and shame. He doesn't see any of that. You know what he sees? He sees Jesus. And he wants so desperately to pick you up, his son and daughter, and tell you, hold you in his arms and say, all is forgiven. All is forgiven. And Jesus, he conquered death by death. How do you defeat death? Well, by living. And 3 days after his death on the cross, Jesus did exactly that. He was resurrected to life, never to die again. And everyone who believes in him will not die, but have eternal life. And this is our hope. Eternal life, love, death, rescue, hope. So I have a question for you today. What is hope? What is hope? And I think sometimes we get it confused with wishing or fantasy. We'll say things like, oh, I hope it doesn't rain tomorrow. Or we'll say, man, I hope the Leafs win the Stanley Cup. And it's just pure fantasy. Right? Come on, we all know this. I know, they're having a good season, but it's a wish. We say hope, but what we're doing is we're wishing. See, hope is knowing. Hope is knowing. Hope is knowing that the future is good. See, you know what hope is? Hope is a wedding day. Hope is a wedding day, and it's a young couple, and they've got the date on the calendar, and they know the day is coming. And every day, they're talking about the big wedding day, and they're talking about starting their life together, and they're excited about all the things, all the joy, and all the happiness that they're going to share together for a lifetime. That's hope. You know what hope is? Hope is a dream vacation. Hope is having that day. We as a family, we've got a dream vacation coming up in November, and man, we got the countdown on. It's like 200 and well, how many days? 60 days or something? 260 days, and we're already counting it down, right? And we can't wait because we've got all these plans, we've got all these dreams, and we're gonna do this, and then when we get there, we're gonna do that. It's gonna be so much fun. We know that the future is good. That's hope. See, that's the kind of hope that gets you out of bed in the morning and ready to start the day to tackle any challenge. Notice that this is the kind of hope you don't usually talk about, right? Usually, You don't usually talk about that kind of hope. You just know it, and you feel it. In fact, you don't talk about having hope. What you do is you talk about the thing that gives you hope. You talk about the thing that gives you hope. I was talking to someone last week, and he was telling me that he's within the year, and he had a date. He knew the day. I can't remember it. And he said he was going to pay off his mortgage within the year. And you know, he didn't tell me he had hope, but I could see it in his eyes. I could hear it in his voice. I could see it in his face. He was looking forward to that day, pay off that mortgage, and man, now the possibilities. Now the opportunities. Now what can we do? See, that is hope, knowing that the future is good. As followers of Jesus, here's the thing. We have a hope that's bigger and stronger than a dream vacation or burning like a mortgage burning. Our hope is eternal life. Got another question for you. What does it mean to have eternal life? Now, don't raise your hands. I don't want you to raise your hands, but think about this. Now, how many people here would think that eternal life is living forever? Seems pretty obvious, right? That's eternal life. It's a life that goes on for eternity. Of course it is, Wade. What else could it be? Would you be surprised if I told you that you were wrong? Well, maybe half right. Because eternal life is actually a lot more deeper than just living forever. How do I know? Fred showed me this just a few years back. You see, in John 3:16, Jesus gives us the promise that of eternal life for everyone who believes in him. And then 14 chapters later, in chapter 17, verse 3, he's praying to God and he tells us what eternal life is. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Eternal life is knowing Jesus. Right? Thank you for the sound effect. That was awesome. I remember Fred telling me that a few years ago. He's like, well, yeah, John tells us eternal life is knowing Jesus. And I'm like, what? Are you kidding me? Like, it's not living forever? No, it's eternal life is knowing Jesus. But what does that mean? Like, what does that mean? Eternal life is knowing Jesus. Well, there's three things I want to point out today. The first one is that there's a difference between knowing about someone and knowing someone. I want you to think of your favorite actor, your favorite sports person, your favorite band, you know, the celebrity that you love. And I want you to think about them. And I want you to think about all the things that you know about them. And the fact is, you may even know a lot about them, but you don't know them. You don't know them. You haven't spent time with them. I'm guessing you've never had a conversation with them. So you know a lot about them, but you don't know them. And it's no different with Jesus. It's not enough to know about Jesus. You need to know Jesus. And that only happens by spending time with him and having conversations. See, eternal life starts with spending time with Jesus. By opening up your Bible and reading what he has to say to you. By opening your heart and praying to him and then allowing him to speak to you directly. I can't overemphasize how important it is to spend time reading your Bible, to spend time praying, fasting, meditating. Those things are the essence of eternal life. Because eternal life is knowing Jesus. Second thing, knowing Jesus introduces us to a whole new way to live. See, Jesus calls us to change the way that we think and act. In Jesus' world, things are turned upside down. The first will be last. The poor are rich. To serve is better than to be served. Sometimes I think we get stuck in despair Because we're trying to follow the rules of the world. We're doing everything backwards. And the things that we want and the things that we think we need have nothing to do with what God wants for us. We're desperate to get rich. And God is saying, it's time to learn to give generously. I'm trying to find my notes. That's what I'm trying to do right now. We want to have fame and notoriety and build our personal brand, but eternal life is humbly serving others. We want to defeat our enemies, but eternal life is turning the other cheek. See, Jesus called us to seek the kingdom of God first and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Church, you need to surrender your heart, your mind, your decisions, your dreams, your plans, your ambitions, your careers, everything to Jesus. Only then will we start to truly experience the hope and the joy of what it's going to be like in eternity. I was listening to a podcast a few weeks ago, and there was a guy, and he was sharing his story. His name's Scott Harrison, and he's the CEO of Charity Water. And he had worked for 10 years in the nightclub business in New York, and kind of built his way to the top. And he describes his life as he had everything. He had luxury cars. He had all the money he could want. He had a girlfriend with. She was on the cover of magazines. He says we the parties, private jets. He was. He had a grand piano in his living room. He had everything. And he was miserable. He says he was spiritually bankrupt. He was emotionally bankrupt. And his turning point in life was when his dad sent him a book called Pursuing God. And as he read that book, it changed him. It rocked him to the core of who he was. And he gave his life to Jesus. And he left that whole world behind. And you know, he started a charity, getting water to communities that couldn't get it clean, fresh water. And you know what? His income plummeted. But his joy skyrocketed. And his purpose and his meaning, knowing Jesus, it's all about knowing Jesus. That's the start of a new life that will last forever. Third thing about this concept of Jesus being eternal life. Knowing Jesus starts now and goes on forever. See, here's the exciting thing. Eternal life starts right now. Right now. We don't have to wait to experience the joy of eternal life. We can experience it here today. In the here and now, you can enjoy all the benefits of a life shared with Jesus. A life of hope. A life of joy, a life of peace. And you know what? And at the end of time, that life, we're just going to continue on for eternity. I want you to close your eyes with me this morning. And I want you, as I read from the book of Revelation, and so John, who's the author of John 3:16, he also wrote the book of Revelation. He had this vision of the future of a brand new earth. And God seated on the throne in a new holy city. And this is what the scripture says. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. And the one sitting on the throne said, look, I am making everything new. So God's passion and plan is to live with you for eternity. And he's making all things new. He has a plan to fix this broken world and make it new. Imagine with me a day when we will live with him in a world without disease, without divorce, without bankruptcy, without firings, without failures, without accidents, without death. All of those things replaced with love, hope, joy, peace, goodness, kindness. all the things of the Spirit, all the things of God. See, you know what? Even in eternity, there will be hope. Why? Because the future will always be good. The future will always be good. And Crosslands, this is our hope. The future is good. Our future is with Jesus, and it starts right now. Starts right now. So what I want to do, I want to redefine hope. I want to redefine hope. So we said, we said hope is knowing the future is good. But if our hope is eternal life, and if eternal life is knowing Jesus, then here's a new definition of hope. Hope is knowing Jesus. Hope is knowing Jesus. Our hope is knowing that no matter what happens, Jesus is with us, and he will make the future good. I had a friend of mine, and when I was growing up as a kid, and he was a mechanic. But he wasn't just any mechanic. He worked in the military, and he fixed helicopters. He fixed helicopters! How cool is that, right? He's a helicopter mechanic. And we would drive around. He had this old beater of a car that we used to drive around in, a Ford LTD, and like burgundy color. And every time we got into the car and he put it into gear, into drive, the car would go like this. The whole vehicle. I don't know what was going on. It was, and I mean, every time it happened, we just laughed hysterically. And you know, this car was a horrible wreck. But you know what? He fixed helicopters. If he said it was okay, it's okay. I wasn't worried for a minute. And one day we're driving up the 427, and smoke starts pouring out of the hood of the vehicle, right? and so he kind of pulls off on Highway 7 and kind of pulls to the side of the curb, and he says, "All right, boys, I guess we're walking." And you know what? The funny thing is, when I think about that, I wasn't fazed for a minute. I wasn't fazed for a minute. He can fix helicopters. If he's okay, I'm okay. Because why? Because I'm with him. And it's all good. And you know, last week in worship, Ashley was talking about Jesus walking on water. And man, that has just kind of been rattling around in my head all week. See, there's always two things that I have to remind myself when I think about Jesus walking on water. The first thing I have to remind myself is that Jesus didn't walk on a sea of glass. He walked in the midst of a storm. It was a storm when he walked on water. The second thing I have to remind myself is that Jesus wasn't the only person that walked on water. Peter walked with him. Peter was in the boat, and the waves are crashing. And what does he do? He gets out of the boat. He had so much confidence in Jesus. He got out of the boat. I actually wanted, this is like a screenshot from a YouTube video. I actually wanted to show the video. But honestly, I was a little afraid that you'd all get seasick. Because the waves were rolling and the lightning and I was like, oh my gosh, I can't show this. Everybody will be sick. And here's Peter. He gets out. Why? Because he was with Jesus. He was with Jesus, and he knew it was going to be okay. Eternal life is knowing Jesus. And for now, it doesn't mean the storms will end in your life. For now, there will still be storms. But it does mean that Jesus is with you in every storm. And if you keep your trust in him, you can walk on the waves. Our hope is knowing Jesus, knowing that he is with us in the midst of every storm. Things may not always go the way that we want, but in the end, Jesus is with us, and he will make all things good. Now, the purpose of this message series over the past 4 weeks has been to kind of recap the gospel for you, the good news for you, so that you can share it with others. In a world full of bad news, your friends, your family, your neighbors, your colleagues, they need to hear something better. They need to hear good news. In 1 Peter 3:15, it says, if someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. Two things I want you to ponder here. One, for someone to ask about your hope, it means that they can see it in you. Right? Just like when I was talking to that person who was going to pay off his mortgage this year. I just saw it in him. Where's your hope today? Where's your hope? Can people see it in you? The second thing is obvious. The Bible's just really plain. We need to be ready to explain that hope when people do ask. And so how do we do that? And just really quickly, tell your story. Tell your story. Love, death, rescue, hope. How has God loved you? How has God rescued you? How has God given you hope? Here's a couple things. It's your story. You're not going to get your story wrong. Okay? So take courage. You're not going to get your story wrong. No one can argue with your story. People can argue with theology all day long. But a friend is not going to argue with your story. They want to know, well, what is this thing? How has God changed you? Let me know. When you tell your story, you don't have to worry about getting the theology perfect. Okay? We are saved by God's love, by his rescue, by his hope. Most people know just the very basics when they give their life to Jesus. We are not saved by our theology. So you don't have to worry about getting the theology right, okay? Just take that burden off. What they want to hear is they want to hear your story. It's your story that matters. Now, if the person you're talking to, your friend, they want to start with theology, no worries. Why? Because you have a small group that you're a part of who can help you. And they can help you answer questions. And you have a pastoral team here that would love to meet with you and help you through this and answer any questions that you have. And you know what? It's always better to admit you don't know, show a little humility, and say, you know what? I don't know the answer to that deep theological question. But I'm going to look into it. I'm going to find out, and I'm going to get back to you. And you know, so often you'll get way more credibility for that than just trying to make up something on the spot and look smart. So just a little bit of humility goes a long way. But there are people here that can help you. You're not alone. Here's the final thing. Always pray and ask the Holy Spirit to lead you. Sometimes a theological argument is a cover for a deep emotional wound. But see, the Holy Spirit knows what the person needs to hear, and he's anxious to help you speak to them. Okay, I thought I saw a couple of text messages come in. We'll see. I don't have a lot of time, but that's okay. Oh, this is a great question. What is the difference between hope and trust? And you know what? They're very, very connected, aren't they? They're very connected. Because knowing is trusting. And in fact, there isn't really much hope. I mean, I don't think there's really much difference at all, except, you know, we're just kind of drawing lines and saying, well, trust maybe is the knowing part, and then hope is maybe the feeling part. But, you know, that's just me making stuff up now. Okay. Wade, there's a little, okay. Okay, Wade, there's a line in The Lord of Rings that says, do not trust a hope. I'm afraid I have adopted this philosophy to protect myself from disappointment. I always hope while preparing myself to be let down. I will use your message to put my faith in Jesus and just hope again. Thank you. Yes. Yes. Put your hope in Jesus. Prayer is just the way we talk what is going on. Know that God is loving you in a way that is overwhelmingly awesome. We are not ever experienced. Let's wait on God. I know it's hard, but it's giving back to God who gives. Yeah, this is great. This is fantastic stuff. Okay, I struggle to reconcile the two concepts of, one, hope and joy in the life eternal with Jesus, yes, and two, the idea that following Jesus can mean a life of public condemnation and suffering because of our belief. And you're absolutely right there. You're absolutely right. There's a tension there. Because we have a hope, we have joy in Jesus, but we know full well that we're also to suffer with Jesus in these days. The Bible is very clear about that. We have to pick up our cross and follow him. And so there's a tension there. The suffering will end one day. The suffering will come to an end. And so this is part of the hope that we have. This is part of the joy that we have, is that even while we're being tormented, even while we're suffering for Jesus, we know that the day will come to an end, and there's joy. I mean, Paul says, he's thinking about going home to be with Jesus, and he gets great joy from that. And then he's thinking, it's better for me to stay here and to continue to work and so there's that tension. He held both close in hand. And a lot of life is that tension. I've got a couple more, but I'm just gonna respond to these on Facebook or privately, depending on how they go. I'm gonna invite Jenny to come. Before Jesus died on the cross, he had a final meal with his disciples. But it wasn't a meal of despair. He broke bread with them, and in that Last Supper, as we like to call it, Jesus knew the future was good. He looked forward to the day when he would eat a meal with his disciples in the new kingdom, the new earth, and they would share a life of eternity together. I ask you again, where is your hope? Where is your hope? And if you're here today and you're wondering, how do I start this life of knowing Jesus? It's as simple as A, B, C. Admit, believe, and commit. Admit your need for God. Believe that Jesus is Lord. And then commit your life to him. I'm going to ask you today, if you make that decision today, could you please let us know? Open up crosslands.live and there's a little tab there that says, I want to follow Jesus. And you fill out that form and email us and let us know, because we want to help you on your journey. We want to help you get started. We want to help you along to truly commit to Jesus. And if that's a little too techy, that's okay. We've got forms at the back. They're called Get Connected forms. You can grab one of those, fill it out, and hand it in at the information center. Even if you've been following Jesus for years, take a next step today. Go deeper. Commit more of your life to him. And find the hope that he promises. I'm going to invite you to stand. This room is now a prayer room. And our prayer focus today is to discover a hope that will shine for others to see. Would you give Jesus 5 minutes of your time today? Would you give him 10 minutes? Maybe even 15 minutes? To connect with him, to pour out your heart, to reconnect with the hope of knowing Jesus today. This time is here for that. I encourage you to do that. And before we go, I leave you with our church's theme verse. And it's found in Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, today I'm asking for hope. I pray that you would fill each heart and soul here today with hope. Father, I pray that you would help us to get to know Jesus. And that knowing Jesus would change us from the inside out. God, I pray that today would be a new day. It would be a new day of knowing that the future is good, because we are with Jesus. And so, God, I pray that that we'll go out with an energy, with a tenacity, with a promise, knowing that you are with us, that the future is good. And Father, I ask and pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you, everyone. God bless. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to the Crosslands Church Podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes or the Google Play Store so that it comes straight to your device. And to find out more about Crosslands Church, you can visit us at crosslands.ca. Join us next week for another message to help you experience the life with God you've been missing.